Welcome to Ad Free Show's Top Guys. We have with us today a man who said 3 years ago this will be the last time he ever talks about professional wrestling. And here we are back 3 years later. Jonathan Coachman. Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, and I'll be the first one to admit that I did say that. I did mean that, but circumstances change. So sometimes when certain people exit stage left, it allows you to come back and enjoy what you're doing. So it's great to be with everybody tonight. It's great to see everybody and spend a little time talking about what's going on.
So, I mean, technically, no one ever retires in the wrestling business, and you're no different. So if anything, you're just, you know, beginning your Terry Funk phase, let's say.
That's true. I will never have eight last matches, though. I can promise you. I've had my last match. That's it.
Hopefully it goes better than Ric Flair's. Anyway, so we're going to get started with everyone. Everyone, if you have a question, please raise your hand. Send me the chat. We will get started. Assuming Coach Rosie and Mr. Mack are in the same spot because you guys look like you have the same ceiling.
Yeah, we're up in we're up in Iowa for the Hall of Fame. We're just waiting for John Hixon to get off his flight. I'm going to petition for Jonathan Coachman to get into the Hall of Fame in Waterloo.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to be pushing for it because you're the man, Coach.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I tell you what, a lot of people bring up the Hall of Fame, and I never want to insult anybody or minimize anybody, but sometimes I really feel, if I'm just being honest, and I try to be honest on these things, sometimes I see like there's names that I don't even know. So I go, man, yeah, Hall of Fame would be nice, but if it's truly a Hall of Fame, because I've done a lot of things nobody else has been able to do, but it's great for anybody who gets in. Whether or not I ever get in, I don't know. I honestly don't care, but it's nice that you think so.
We're going to get started with our first question. It's going to be coming from Anthony. Anthony, how are you tonight?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Coach, Coach, how are you?
I'm good, man. Good to see you.
Hey, listen, I'm so glad our host did not ask you for the reasoning, but I was going to come on here saying, look, 3 years ago, I was here for your last Q&A, and you said you'd never do wrestling ever again. What happened? And by the way, I'm thrilled you're talking wrestling. What changed your mind?
Well, thank you. I mean, behind the turnbuckle has just really exploded for us, but it's because of all you wrestling fans out there. Several things did, but to be honest with you, the number one thing is Vince leaving the company. You know, there was a lot of feelings I had about things that he did or did not do, but you guys got to understand, I was next to him for several years, like literally on the private jets, on the planes, in the meetings, and without getting into detail, you know, there was a lot of things that I didn't like, but when you're there, you can't really say anything, and there's not much you're going to do anyway. So I really felt like 3 years ago, this is not a business I want to be a part of or I want to talk about. Did I still like it? Yeah, I still like the shows a little bit, but I didn't watch because sometimes when you're around, you may have people in your lives, you're like, man, I don't like what they're about, or I don't like how they treat people. So that was pretty much it. Plus, I was really into all the sports that I was doing. Now I am. But, man, we're having fun talking about the shows. And my partner, Big Tommy C, he was in the WWE 32 years, and he got fired. And when he got fired for no reason, I felt like I want to do something to give him some purpose. Because one thing I believe in, you got to have some reason to get out of bed in the morning. And so now Tommy, who's never been on the air before, never been an on-air talent, he's having the time of his life. So between those two reasons – we're glad to be back. The show's growing like crazy. The page is growing like crazy. We got a lot more coming up very, very soon. So it's been exciting, but the main reason is Vince is gone. And, I don't care to talk about him too much or think about him or talk about a company that he's involved in.
Because of your partner, I subscribe to your podcast. So you guys are kicking some ass, because he was just on every show's about what, 2-3 weeks ago.
That's right. That's right.
He did a great job. So, hey, Coach, it's great to have you back in the limelight. I love you. Thank you for being here. And, of course, go Pats!
Thank you very much. And I'll make sure and tell Tommy that. That'll mean the world to him.
I'm putting Anthony back on mute because of his Go Pats. But, yes, Tommy was on Insiders not too long ago with Conrad. And you brought up Behind the Buckle. Please go check it out on Twitter at Behind the Buckle. Was it just Tommy leaving the company that really set the wheels in motion for that?
Well, when I decided to leave CBS, because everybody's probably seen how the media has moved in a lot of different directions, especially in sports betting. And I had a really big show there, and there's a lot of things that they were doing that I didn't like. And so I met with a lot of guys, and you probably know the names. You see the ones that do direct-to-consumer shows. You've seen the big ones. I met with all of them, and they said, Coach, if you don't do this right now, if you don't take all the ideas that you have, because I'm an idea guy. I call myself a content king, and I'm like, I've got all these ideas, but then they would take them, they would sell them, they would make the money, and then I'm still sitting here just having a paycheck. So when we decided to do our own sports betting brand and evolve that, that's when people said, Coach, you should try a wrestling show. You know, I felt like there was this chasm between all of these hundreds of thousands of shows, and no offense to anybody, of fans that kind of do them in their basement after a show, and people who've actually been inside the business. And between me and Tommy, 47 years inside the WWE, 47 years. So that was a big, big reason. He's literally, to tell you how far being me and Tommy go back, he was the first person outside of my parents to meet my newborn daughter in 2008. His son, when he was 16, DJ'd my wedding. So we've literally known each other since 1999. We're best of friends. And his wife has been at the company, still works there 37 years. And so, yeah, it's I was doing it for a friend, but ultimately I've realized I was doing it for myself too.
Did you guys meet in the WWE?
Yeah, I started in 1999, the fall of 99. I actually met Vince McMahon on his birthday, which was the very first SmackDown, August 24th, 1999, in Kansas City. And that was kind of my first day. I worked the two jobs, and then I moved to Stanford at the end of the football season. And Tommy and Michelle literally, now they've moved the studio now, but literally right across the fence from the TV studio for all those years. So they were the very first people I ever met when I moved to Stanford, Connecticut.
It's crazy how things happen and circumstances. And that's great to hear that all these years, 25 years later, this is an adventure. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Josh, I'm going to hit unmute and you are next up to talk with Coach.
Well, hello. I figured Jonathan Coachman tonight, so I better dress up and be formal, for God's sake.
Respect.
Respect, man. So, actually, believe it or not, I'm a real Undertaker. So, you know, I got to live the lifestyle here. So,
my gimmick, Josh.
That's right. By God. Loved your performances in WWE back in the day. Conrad and Eric Bischoff were talking on their podcast this week, and something, a little statistic they said was Jonathan Coachman had 55 matches while he was in the WWE. Uh-huh. I was like, and apparently you did a lot of house shows on and things like that.
Yeah.
So tell me, if you would, or all of us, where'd you get trained and what's some of your best matches, worst matches, if you don't mind sharing?
No, not at all. So in 2002, 2003, you know, I came just as an announcer, and Vince hated the fact that I walk around at 6'3", 250, 260 pounds on the daily. And he loves for his announcers to be really small. You've seen all of them over the years. And I just wasn't that. And he was getting more and more pissed off, which is something you do not want ever. So they sat around and talked about it, and they said, well, Coach talks pretty well. And I've said this for years, and I will say it to you guys, if you can't talk, you can't get over in pro wrestling. There's only so far that you can go, because fans just don't care about a 20-minute match. They want to care about you in the 20-minute match. So he came up, he said, listen, man, we have this idea to make you a heel. It's never been done before, announcer to heel, but you got to be able to work. You got to be able to have matches. You got to be able to talk and then get your ass kicked, or else people aren't going to believe you talking trash to some of these big superstars and them not doing anything to you. So to be brutally honest with you, the guy who trained me was Chris Benoit. And I would go to house shows, and he would come early, and we would train. And so I don't talk about him a lot. I haven't since that happened. And what's crazy is that actually happened on the night that I got married, if I'm being honest. Oh, and geez. So what we were able to do is at house shows, and I'm sure all of you guys have been to house shows. And one thing that we always did was you want to send the crowd happy. So you always, most of the time, the baby face is going to win, right? So then the crowd's happy to go home. So me being a heel, and for some reason, people love to hate me, man. They would just boo all the time. So I would ring announce. And if I wasn't doing a match, I would be the ring announcer. So then at the end of the night, the heels could win. And then I would say something, and then the baby faces would beat me up, leave me laying, and that's how we would go home. So then the heels loved it because they're like, damn, Coach is here tonight. We can win in the main event, which is still kind of a big deal, and you want to, you know, have their hands raised. So most people don't realize how many matches I've had, how much training I had. Dr. Tom Pritchard was a big part of my training as well. When I was training for my first pay-per-view match against Tajiri, I trained with Shane McMahon and Dr. Tom. We had a building kind of at the bottom of the hill in Stanford from the TV studio. You could be there in 30 seconds. And I would go down and I would train there when I was home in Stanford. And then I would train on the road with Chris and Steven Regal a little bit. And we would always, you know, during the afternoon, we would go in there and they would train me. And I've said, you know, to this day, there's nothing harder than training to be a professional wrestler. It's the hardest thing. And I played college basketball. I played all the sports in high school. Nothing compares with that. But I was very proud of myself that I was willing to do it, that I was able to do it, make it believable. I was never a great worker, but I wrestled Ric Flair in Afghanistan. Not too many people can say that. So it was a cool thing that they asked me to do and that we did for several years.
Yeah, you know, with Benoit, with, you know, take away what happened at the end.
Yeah,
you know, that's a hell of a trainer right there. And then, you know, Regal, for God's sakes. I mean, you had two iconic wrestlers right there. And but, you know, I love to hate you. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, that you had that gimmick down perfect. And, you know, it's amazing as we're older. Because, 2003-ish, I was 23. So, you know, 20 years later. And, you know, I appreciate especially the heels more now than I ever did back then, because that was the whole idea. So, but we appreciate you being here. Loved
thank
hearing
you,
your stories. And thank you. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Well, you'll have to tune in to Behind the Turnbuckle. Not only do we have a weekly show, but we have like a premium site, kind of like what you guys would do with Top Guys. We just launched it, and it's like $9.99 a month, something like that. But what we're doing is we have a weekly show called The War Room, where me and Tommy kind of – I did First Take when I was at ESPN 42 times or something like that. So we've kind of taken First Take and Pardon the Interruption and turned it into a wrestling show. And so we take five or six topics. It's only 15 or 20 minutes. We don't like to take up too much of your time because we know you're very, very busy. So that's our first premium show. We're also going to do live Q&As kind of like this, the first of every month. We're going to do live watch-alongs with SummerSlam, just like the guys do here at Ad Free. So if people want to get an insight from – those of us who not only were in the business, called the matches, I think I called 10 WrestleMania, something like that. And wow. So as we've grown and because of a lot of you, we continue to add content to what we're doing because, A, there's a thirst for it. Clearly, you can see what Conrad has built here. But also, I think there's a thirst for really smart content and not just guys out there that are saying stuff on a radio show that have literally never been backstage of a wrestling show in their life. And you guys know who I'm talking about.
Well, I'll tell you what, you just sold me. I'm signing up tonight, man.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
BTT
no, no
Plus.
Doubt.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
For those of you who want to sign up, at Behind the Buckle is the handle on Twitter. The links are all there for you. And Coach, just so you know, you are the only person who has ever wrestled Ric Flair in Afghanistan. So literally no one else can say that besides you.
Do you know what I remember that about that day? And part of the reason that I went is because I could do anything and they could only take 18 talent, 30 people total, 18 talent. You had to get cleared to the Pentagon and the United States government, all that. So I remember they said, hey, we need an extra segment. We need an extra match. Coach, you're going to wrestle Flair. And I walked up to Flair and I go, hey, Rick, I said, it looks like it's me and you one-on-one. And he goes, all right, let's just call it out there. I pause for a second as Triple H is across the room. Shawn Michaels is over there. And I'm going, yeah, if I'm those guys, I can call it out there. I cannot call it out there. But that's how much respect Rick had for everybody, no matter sure. who it was. He respected people for that. So I took the figure four so badly that they started calling it the figure two on the way home of that trip. So true story.
That's awesome. Hey, Phil, you're up next. What do you got for the coach?
Hey, sir. How are you, coach?
Phil, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Pleasure being here. Actually, I've been just kind of playing. I was actually playing Madden, and I realized that you're in Madden. And
yeah.
What was a bigger thrill, being in a WWE game or being in Madden? Because, I mean, that's what I grew up on, and now you were in both. And that's, you know, that's pretty surreal that you got to do both. So what was kind of a bigger thrill for you and the process and all that fun stuff?
Well, it's funny because sometimes I forget, Phil, to be honest with you, I forget the stuff I've done or I've been able to do or been asked to do. And sometimes people have to slap me upside the face because it has been really, really cool and different than really any other talent that's ever lived, which is also very cool. But back when WWE video games started and they started getting more complex and more, you know, they would show up and they'd scan your whole body. That was very, very new for us. When I had my first action figure, I thought I was going to be – somebody would pick up on the fact that I would buy my own action figure with my own credit card. So I actually borrowed Tommy's wife's credit card back to whatever, 2003, to buy five of my own action figures so that people wouldn't know that I bought my own, because they don't give them to us. It's the company doesn't make those. It's a different company like Jax or whoever. So they don't give them away to all of us, or else that would cost them a lot of money. So when it came to video games, very, very cool. There's a lot of different bad games they made because they were trying to get so many games out all the time that they made games. And I was like, what the hell is this? And they'd be like, somebody'd be like, hey, coach, you were this character in this game that I didn't even know I was in, to be honest with you. But when I got the call to be in Madden, Madden is iconic. And whether you like the game or whether you don't, Madden is the football game of record in our generation, in our lifetime. And I've been in the game now since 2017. I do like the specialty stuff, the halftime, the challenges, things of that. So I'm not in a ton anymore because COVID. I used to go to Orlando to do it. Now I literally do it right here in my home office. And I just do like the new names, the new guys that get drafted, but I'm still in it. They still pay me a little bit. So it's cool to say that I'm still in Madden, but I would say Madden is probably more cool than being in all the wrestling video games.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Like I said, it was, yeah, it's, you know, when I hear your voice, I'm like, oh, I can recognize that guy.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's pretty cool. So, like I said, thank you for taking the time and, have a, you know, great evening.
It's my pleasure. I see you, Josh. And a new member. I like that. Yeah, thank
Josh
you.
Josh signed
thank
up.
You, Bill.
Phil, thanks for the question. All right, Coach, I got to ask because, you know, this is always a big question. Everyone waits for their WWE video game check. Madden paid the same way?
So Madden, they pay me a certain amount of money. It's not very much anymore. It used to be a lot more. So just so people know, when you are a voice in a game and they've got to load all of your stuff in, they then can start repeating it from year to year to year. So it goes less and less and less work. But the key is that if they took me out of the game, they would have to do all that loading in with a new voice. So that's why they're like, coach, we still need you. And so I get paid a few thousand dollars. And then I still get from WWE a $73 check every 3 months for a CD that I don't even know how they're selling them these days. Maybe iTunes, I don't know. But my one of my entrance theme songs was on a CD, and I get a $73 check. I actually just saw it today. I was kind of cleaning the office up around here. I don't know why it's $73, but that's what it is every 3 months.
That's crazy. It's amazing how it all shakes out in the long run, isn't it? Mike, we're going to go to you next. Mike, what do you got for Coach?
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good. Good to see you, man.
As you said many times here, you know, 3 years ago, you said you were done with it. Now you're still doing it. It's wrestling. They, you know, never say never. Any chance we might see you inside a WWE ring again?
Well, let's clarify that I've only been doing it for 3 months. I was done. I wasn't playing with anybody. I wasn't lying to you guys because I really felt that way. I had such a disdain. I mean, a true disdain for that entire business. And you got to understand that when you're going through it, I missed a lot of really important things during that time. During the conversation we had on Behind the Turnbuckle, that's going to be out on Friday or Saturday with Vince Russo, that's one of the things we talked about, is the regrets that all of us have, all of us that made it to the top. We have a lot of regrets. And the number one thing that me and Vince agreed on is the family time that we missed out on. I'll give you an example. One Christmas Eve, I was back in Salina, Kansas. It's 3 hours from Kansas City. And I'm walking around the mall. I get a call from Kevin Dunn, who's my boss, who you guys have heard of Kevin Dunn, famous producer. He's the one who hired me. And he goes, "Hey, coach, I need you back here tomorrow. Shoot some with Vince before he goes to Florida to spend Christmas with his family." I'm like, "Well, what about my family? What about me? I'm already here." And he literally said, "And?" And I was like, at that moment, I realized he doesn't care about me. And so like a dumbass, I drove to the airport on Christmas Eve. I stayed in the hotel by myself. I flew to Connecticut from Kansas City on Christmas morning to shoot a stupid skit for Monday Night Raw so then Vince could fly to Florida and spend time with his family in his $13 million penthouse. And I'm stuck in Stanford in my apartment going, what the hell just happened in the last 24 hours? And so that's a long way of telling you, I don't ever want to go through that lifestyle again. And I think I have enough things going right now, and we're building, but now we're getting on the other side of the mountain and starting to add partnerships and platforms and companies that are going to do business with us. So I'm not ever going to say never again because I've made that mistake. But am I thinking about it? No. I think I can do a lot more good doing this, talking about the business, educating people on the business. It's a ton of fun to do all these shows with all these people I used to work with. And quite frankly, probably in the long run, make more money doing this and not having to travel. So I don't anticipate ever being in the ring again. No.
What about more like a one-off? So say Raw's first day on Netflix or something. That's more what I was
trying to... No. Because until you got to understand, at some point you got to put your foot down. And they still owe me a lot of money. And when they said, and it's from XFL, but to me, Vince owned both companies. So Kevin Dunn literally said to me when they bounced the checks during COVID, he's like, "Oh man, that's a lot of money." I agree. And they never made it right. So if I went back and did a one-off just to help them launch Netflix, then I would be going back on everything that I've said for the last 4 years. So no, I would not do a one-off at all. No.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Mike, thanks for the question. All right. Danielle, we're going to get to you in a second, but I got to ask. Tony Khan calls you tomorrow to make an appearance. One-off.
No.
Different conversation?
No. I've been very critical of them. I just don't think it's very good. And it's hard for me to say that. But if I'm going to be a voice in this business that all of you trust, that you can learn from the knowledge that I have with all the years that I've been inside the WWE, then it would be hypocritical of me to say I'll go to AEW, but I have a lot of friends that are there. A lot of, you know, Christian I traveled with for over 2 years every single week. So it kills me to be critical. So when I'm critical, it's about people and storylines and how Tony Khan literally, when I heard Mercedes, and understand this, guys, when a wrestler says that they control their creative, that's a recipe for disaster. When you're doing the same promo 3 weeks in a row, and it's the same thing week after week, eventually you're like, "Oh my God, this is brutal." And you realize she's getting exposed because she can't talk. She's horrible on the mic. So you're Tony Khan and you're going to say she's the most, you know, the best, whether it's female, male, I don't know, free agent you've ever signed. And then she's bragging about using the private jet, being in a movie, you know, ragging on WWE. I have a problem with that. Just take your money and work on your craft. To this day, I practice in front of the mirror every single day. And she can't do that, or some of the other ones can't do that. And he literally books his show. I don't know if it's true if he talks to Meltzer, and I have no idea. But it certainly feels like he reads the dirt sheets and he reads social media and books his show accordingly. And so I've been very critical of him. So I doubt he would call me. But sure. I wouldn't go for one-off, no. No.
Gotcha. Perfect. All right, Danielle, you're up next. What do you got for the coach?
Hi, coach.
Hi, Danielle.
So did you have a favorite commentator that you like to work alongside of?
Not Corey Graves. I'm kidding.
That's going to get clipped out on the internet.
I don't dislike Corey Graves. I will say this. When I came back in 2018, you when you're doing a three-man booth, all three members, it's kind of like running the three-man weave in basketball. You got to know where you're going. You got to hook each other up. And when me and JR and King did it, everybody thought that JR hated me. Everybody thought, oh, I'm the young guy. I'm coming in. A two-man booth is awesome. So JR was pissed when I got brought in. And he wasn't pissed because it was me. He was pissed because it was anybody. Three-man booths are really, really hard. So I loved working with King because there's not too many human beings, Danielle, that don't care about much in life other than just making money and talking and having fun. And he made more money than anybody not preparing for anything, which is incredible when you think about all the but he mastered his craft for what his style was, and the 3 seconds in, 3 seconds out, puppies, all that kind of stuff. So I loved working with him. Me and Michael Cole traveled together for 2 years at the very beginning. I've got a lot of respect for Michael. Try to imagine in your careers, whatever you guys do, he started in 1996, I believe. I started in 99, and I was right out of college, basically 22, 23 for me. He hasn't missed a show since the 90s. So when we used to take vacations, we'd have to go like Tuesday to Sunday. When I got married, I went to Monday Night Raw on Monday after I got married so I could be gone for 10 days starting on that Wednesday. That's ridiculous. And at least now it feels like Triple H is changing that a little bit, giving guys some time off, and it just makes the shows better. I don't believe that there should be shows 52 weeks a year. I think that's stupid. I think Raw being 3 hours is, I mean, how much Dom and Liv can, or Liv and Rhea can we see in one show? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So Michael Cole is a guy that is so incredibly professional. But I think he has like this, he can be miserable a lot of the time, but I don't hold it against him because if I had to travel nonstop for 28 years every single week, at some point I would be miserable too. So
he does seem like he's a little less miserable nowadays.
Oh, Danielle, there's no question about that. Try to imagine us sitting here right now and you got somebody screaming in your ear for 3 hours while you're trying to even listen and talk. That's what life was like for Vince. And also, in whatever job you have, you want somebody to say, you know what? You know how to do your job. I'm going to let you do it.
Yes.
And for Michael, 28 years, you think he knows what he's doing. And he does. And once Vince got pushed out, Triple H has other things to do. He lets Michael. And for a while, Michael was actually in charge of the announcers. When I came back in 2018, he was the one that kind of negotiated my contract with me, which was kind of weird, but it was fine. So there's no question because you can feel it. You can hear it. You see some of the low level cameras where he's laughing. He never laughed before because we would get yelled at. What are you laughing at? What are you doing? And I would get screamed at. I can't even tell you how many times, you know, you'd say something. I'll never forget. I said something about Test. God rest his soul. And literally Vince screamed at me for probably 60 seconds. You killed his character. You're killing. What are you doing? And you're still trying to call the show. The show's still going. So it got to the point, you're like, what are we doing? So there's no question his life is so much better now than it's ever been in the 28 years he's been there.
One more thing. How would you like to work with Pat McAfee?
I think it'd be great. I have a lot of respect for Pat. A lot of the things he does, we're now doing in our careers, and everything has changed. I used to think I had to be at a network to be considered successful. And now that we're building our two brands and we're working with people that are coming to us and we know what's possible, Pat is a big source of inspiration for me. Also, he has guts like nobody I've ever seen before. And he says things that we all wish. You know, I was at ESPN for 10 years. And if I would have said any of the things that he says about ESPN while I was working there, guess what, Danielle? I wouldn't have been working there for very long.
Yeah.
So, you know, but he understands. He's made, you know, it was a $90 million contract. He knows that they need him a lot more than he needs them. He would have networks lining up if they ever got rid of him. So I would love to work with him because I just think he enjoys what he does more than maybe anybody that's ever done it.
Thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. It's nice to meet you.
You too.
Coach, one of the biggest parts you ever were a part of was the integration between WWE and ESPN.
Mm.
How important were you to that deal? And could that deal have been done without you?
I don't believe that it could have been. I got a call one night about 3 a.m., and it was Vince and it was Kevin Dunn. And they basically begged me to help them get wrestling content on ESPN. And that's kind of – those are all the details that I don't really go into when people say, why were you so bitter? Why were you so angry? Why does it bother you so much? It's because of stories like this, getting calls at 3 a.m. when I haven't been in the company for 3 or 4 years, but they tell you, you're always one of us. You're always one of us. So I go to my bosses at ESPN. We worked out a deal, and people probably remember this, where every single Tuesday I would do an interview. We would do a package. It'd be about 10 minutes. It was the highest rated thing on that day by far. And it worked out great because they were taping SmackDown still on Tuesdays back then. So to get that started, we went to, I think, 4 WrestleManias. We took SportsCenter to 4 WrestleManias. We did SportsCenter live from WrestleMania. And then to have them, and the whole reason, and they said this on the very first phone call, we probably had 3 or 4, they said, we need to get this going so we can negotiate a deal with a real network and not Spike TV or any of these smaller places that didn't have a lot of money. And so they convinced Nick Khan, they hired Nick Khan, convinced Fox, hey, if ESPN will do it, you guys can do it too. And they got $1 billion. And on that first day, whoever the president or one of the high, he mentioned me and said, we couldn't have done this without Jonathan Coachman. So I don't know that it would have got, maybe, but we certainly gave them a lot of tape and a lot of packages to show Fox this is what could happen. So that's part of the reason I got so pissed, because I moved heaven and earth to make that happen. It's not easy to get ESPN and all the executives sure. there who don't like wrestling. They hated wrestling. They didn't want me there. To then say, okay, you can do this every Tuesday night.
Do you think that the push that UFC had on ESPN made that easier, especially with the Brock Lesnar aspect of it at the time as well?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because at that time, Conor McGregor was becoming really, really big. And so Conor McGregor was the reason that ESPN got into the UFC business,
right?
Not Brock. So I don't think really that had anything to do with it. Conor was a force of nature. And for 3 or 4 years, I did all the MMA coverage. So I was at every single Conor McGregor fight. And I'm telling you right now, you can give me any star that WWE has ever, ever, ever had. And I would put Conor McGregor's popularity, the energy in the building, things that he did, I put him up against anybody. He was an absolute force of nature. Now, money has ruined him because he's soft and he's never going to fight again. But when he was building that, nobody can compare to Conor McGregor. Nobody.
What is interesting to me is the WWE really was not into the real sports game for a really long time.
Yeah.
And you were that big bridge, especially with ESPN. We've seen more integration of celebrities and sports figures.
Mm-hmm.
What? How did you see that evolve when you were backstage and outside the company to where they're at today? Is that Nick Khan?
Well, for a long time, Vince didn't believe we needed celebrities to be a part of the show. He felt like the wrestlers were the start of the show. And then once he was convinced that we can reach a much wider audience if we bring in a celebrity from music or a celebrity from movies. We went through a 1 or 2 year run where we promoted all these movies, and I'll never forget LL Cool J being Rollerball. Paul Heyman was in that movie. So they evolved, but Nick Khan did not even come in until 2013, I left in 2017. So it was after 2017. So back when I was there, no, I think it was just a matter of understanding that if we reach a broader audience, and I'm very proud of the fact that I knocked that door down. I was the very sure. first person. And now the list, I mean, Todd Grisham, Charlie, female Charlie, I can't remember her last name. But a lot of these people, and now we're seeing, which is crazy, Joe Tessitore, of all people, is going to the WWE.
Right.
Now, people are like, how can that happen? It's very, if you put all the, a lot of people don't understand the 6 degrees of separation, so to speak. But Nick Khan was a big agent at CAA. One of his big colleagues or his clients was Kirk Herbstreit. Kirk Herbstreit worked for a guy named Lee Fitting. Lee Fitting ran College Game Day for 25 years. So guess who's the new executive in charge of production at WWE now?
That'd be Lee Fitting.
Lee Fitting. And so if Lee Fitting is running production, who do you think he's going to call? The people that he knows. Well, who is one of the big announcers in college football outside of Kirk Herbstreit at ESPN?
Joe Tessitore.
Joe Tessitore. There you go. You put all the pieces together. It doesn't take a long time to figure it out. But I will always be proud of knocking down the door, because I know the meetings I had and the people tell me, no. You did that fake stuff, so you can't be here and do the real stuff. Nobody's going to believe you when you're doing a Braves Mets highlight on SportsCenter. Well, screw you. They did, and then I lasted for 10 years, and I'm very proud of that fact. And all these other people never had to deal with that.
Sure. Do you see Conor McGregor? I know you said you don't think he's going to fight again.
Yeah.
Do you ever see him stepping into the professional wrestling ring?
No, he's too small. I mean, there's only one Rey Mysterio. You guys understand, Conor McGregor fought at 145 or 155 pounds. There's not a superstar in the WWE or AEW, for that matter, that their right leg doesn't weigh 155 pounds. He's just too small. It's not believable. And the one thing Vince always taught us is that it's got to be reality-based. And how many times have you seen, I'll use this as an example, because Alexa Bliss is coming back. When I was there, they had Alexa Bliss against Nia Jax. Is there ever a universe or a world where Alexa Bliss would stay with Nia Jax in a real fight?
No.
The answer, of course not. I mean, she's three times the size of Alexa Bliss, but that's what they try to get over. So now you got to chop down the leg. You got to take a shot at the back. You got to have somebody run in. And so for Conor McGregor, if he came into the ring and talked trash to Drew McIntyre, Drew McIntyre would flick him and he would go flying. So no, I don't think that would ever make any sense. And I've continued to say that, and I've continued to be right. Also, he's super, super smart at putting his face on something, not investing any money, and getting a big payout on the back end. Proper 12 is a perfect example of that. They gave him, I think, 50% equity. If he said it was his, they sell it for $1.2 billion. He gets $600 million, and not a dime went into that company by him. Now he's doing with bare knuckle, and he just continues to do it, which is why he's never going to fight again, because he's printing money every single day.
Speaking of that, The Rock, $30 million.
Yeah.
Board seat, January 2nd. Not long after you know who disappears. All a coincidence?
No. I think they had a lot of long meetings, and I think they realized they needed something positive to counteract the negative, and it was a big negative. I don't know ultimately what's going to be the fallout of all that's kind of been put on hold, but you also got to understand The Rock situation. He hasn't had a hit movie in a long time. A lot of the franchises he was in were coming to an end, and somebody offers you $30 million, and you can have your name and don't have to pay for it, and you can come back and have a run like that. I know, because if you watch the documentary, it's in there, that they didn't expect the crowds to be that way. And so it's still fun and exciting to then pivot and try something new and tell a new story. And that was an unbelievable 4 months. So coincidence, no. And you also got to understand, where is Rock at now? He's in Hollywood. The parent company, Endeavor, is a big Hollywood company. And so Ari Emanuel and Rock are tight. And so Ari's like, listen, they've already overpaid for the UFC. They paid $4 billion for the UFC. It was sold for $2 million with an M in 2001. They've got a lot of debt there. So when they pay $6 billion for the WWE, they've got to figure it out. They need star power. They need stuff to make them money and makes them a lot of money. So you bring Rock back. Now all of a sudden you can go to Netflix and say, hey, how about we get into the live event game? Why don't we get into the live show game and you guys be the first ones we ever do? Really? Yeah, and we want you to pay us $5 billion. Sounds great. Let's do that. It all made sense.
I got to ask. You were there for a really long time.
Yep.
You watched the documentary. How much was real? How much do you think was them trying to fix a situation they weren't expecting?
I think it was all of that. And you guys got to understand, that documentary was supposed to come out the week after WrestleMania. Why did it not come out for 3 months? Well, Rock also has creative control. And I don't care what anybody says. You guys need to understand this. I was there at the height of Rock and Triple H for many years. They do not like each other. And if they're acting like it now, they're lying to all of you. They've hated each other for their entire careers. So when they came back and Rock had all the stroke and Vince is getting pushed out and everybody on the WWE side is like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? Because the UFC side was controlling everything. So Rock knew he had this power. So for him, I guarantee you it was to edit that piece. And even after it was edited, didn't all you guys feel like it was just Rock controlling everything? And you see all those memes and all that kind of stuff, and which I find hilarious. But I think Rock came back and said, and I'll go on record right now, I think long-term, he would love to be in charge of creative for the WWE once they get to Netflix. I think he wants a bigger role because eventually making blockbuster movies, the blockbusters aren't there anymore. I just did an MMA movie 3 weeks ago. The straight-to-streaming movies, that's taking over. Rock doesn't want to do that. So now for the last whatever 10 years, 15 years of his active career, he could run the WWE. That's a lot of power. Vince Russo said on our show this week, it's coming out, that he believes in less than 2 years, by the end of 2025, he doesn't think Triple H will be in the WWE either. So I think there's going to be a lot of changes there and a lot of this.
I'm sure Brian Goertz has nothing to do with any of that.
You know what? When in 2000, he had an apartment in Stamford, Connecticut. He wanted to move into New York City. So guess who sublet Brian Goertz's apartment in 2000, which was 2 minutes from the studio?
Would that be you?
This guy. Yeah, that's my connection to Brian. Yeah.
We got one last question, then we're going to
I got about 5 more minutes.
Yep. Chris North wants to know, where did your comedic ideas come from as a comedic character?
I think that speaking mic work is a talent, but I also think that sometimes you've got to hone that talent. And I told you earlier, I stand in front of the mirror to this day, and I've been on national television for well over 20 years. And anytime I hear somebody say, I don't really work on it, it just comes to me. Bullshit. It doesn't just come to you. You got to work on it. You got to throw something at the wall. I'm an idea guy. If I throw 10 things at the wall and one sticks, that's a success. And for me, beating into that character and just saying, the cockier I get, because I know no matter what world you guys live in, wherever you work at, wherever you hang out at, don't you guys hate the most cocky character when he walks into the room? And you're like, why does he have to act that way? And then when he gets away with it, you're like, man, how does he get to act that way? And then when he's funny, you're like, man, I don't really want to laugh at his stuff because I hate him, but I'm laughing anyway. That was my mindset of getting into all that kind of stuff. Plus, Rock worked with me on, like, early on, the Rock stuff, we worked together. Brian wrote all of that. And then as it evolved and I became a character, you know, things changed just a little bit. But I would put my mic work up against anybody when it comes to cutting a promo. I think I'm one of the best of all time. And most people can't say that. And when they say that, okay, go out and show me. Go make 8 minutes of TV, can't miss. Go make people boo. Go make people call you names. Go make people tell you to shut the F up. All that is really, really hard to do. And we were able to do it with an announcer who turned heel, had never been done.
Coach, you have an amazing story. You are all over social media, at the Coach Rules on X, behind the turnbuckle, driving the line. All the links are on his Twitter. Is there anything else, Coach, we can talk about with and promote for you?
I think that's it. I mean, we're going to be doing a lot of wrestling moving forward. I know adfreeshows.com is as well. So I just want you all to just move forward in a positive fashion. Lean into those of us who know the business, because to me, this business is wonderful. The shows are wonderful, but also having a good attitude and enjoying it for what it is also wonderful. So stop reading the dirt sheets. Whatever you invest here, it's worth every single dime, because you can really see what it's like behind the scenes, what goes into the shows, what goes into the brands. And then I think it's kind of a different perspective than reading somebody, you know, that's literally, I could tell you, I was in meetings for well over 10 years. I never saw a dirt sheet writer in a meeting. I never saw somebody backstage. I never saw them huddling up with The Rock and Triple H to go over a match. It's never happened. So stop feeding into that. And I think that's a good place to end.
Feed into your wrestling knowledge by listening to the coach. The coach rules on Twitter, behind the line, behind the buckle, driving the line. He's got some great content over there every week, every day.
That's right.
He's got new stuff. Guys,
that's right.
Thank you for joining us here on Ad Free Shows. Coach, thanks so much for having us. Greatly appreciate it. And if you guys need anything, the Coach Rules, Can't miss them all over X. Coach, that's thank right. you very much.
Thanks, guys. Be good. We'll do it again. Maybe in 3 years. Maybe in 3 years. All right.
2027.
There you go. Be safe. Thanks, thank you guys Coach. Very much. Thank you.
Top guys, thank you for joining us. Do you guys have any questions? Anything I can answer for you before we wrap up tonight? That was great. Awesome.
No, you just stole my question, but other than that, yeah. Everything's
Sorry,
good.
Coach. He's easy to talk to. He's fun to be around and fun to talk to. So I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did.
Yeah, it was great, man. It was all good. All good.
I will reach out to him again to see if he has capability and time to come out. But other than that, keep supporting the platform, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Take it easy.
And Danielle as well. Yes.